Artificial intelligence has been in the news for a long time. How long? That's the topic today on Mind Matters News.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. It's fun to listen to older interviews about artificial intelligence. I usually have two takeaways. First, a lot of what is reported today is often not all that new. It's only more sophisticated. Second, hyping the future seems to always be present in one way or the other in the interview. Today, we'll listen to an interview I did on Cairo Radio in Seattle, Washington. Cairo is K-I-R-O. Listen and see if you can guess the year of the interview. I'll give you the answer at the end of the podcast.
You know, when computers first came out, I think that they were mistakenly, perhaps, called electronic brains, giving rise to the notion that a computer copies, to some extent, what the human brain does. But apparently, it never did that. But they may be doing that. Professor of Electrical Engineering, Dr. Robert Marks, is with us from the University of Washington. He is president of the Neural Networking Council of the Institute of Electronics and Electrical Engineers. Thank you, Bob, for coming over.
Delighted.
Now, tell me, am I right? The computer that you and I have purchased, maybe that it's at home or in an office, doesn't mimic the process of the human brain, then?
No, not architecturally. Artificial neural networks attempts to have computing architectures which work more like the brain does, in the sense of having neurons and interconnects among those neurons. Conventional or linear sorts of computers just do things faster, but not necessarily in parallel as the neural network does.
Now, in parallel, that means that you can suddenly jump to another thought in your brain.
No, not really. No, parallel means that everything is happening at the same time. In conventional computers, they're serial. You have to line up your operations and do them one after another.
I see.
Parallel computers, you can have a number of things happening all at the same time, and hence be able to do things a lot quicker in that way.
Well, forgive my asking what must be stupid questions to a person with your knowledge, but if you had Microsoft's Word for Windows, or is it Windows for Words, or whatever it is, and you can do multitasking, where you can put one particular process on hold while you refer to another that's in a window on the same screen, isn't that the ability to do two things at once?
That's a very low level of parallelism. Very, very low.
Well, okay. Tell me some moves that neural networking would allow us to do.
Well, neural networks, again, are an attempt to mimic the way that the brain works architecturally, and they can also do some things that people can do much better than computers. Computers, for example, can add a column of numbers very easily, but they have a difficult time, for example, picking out a face in a crowd or doing a search among a large number of possibilities. And artificial neural networks, as the human brain, is able to do that.
You mean they will recognize a few little symbols and be able to draw conclusions?
Well, the most exciting application of artificial neural networks currently is the ability to gain wisdom from experience. If there's a large amount of data, the neural network can make structure out of the data. We're using it at the university, for example, in the area of, for example, load forecasting, where Puget Power is interested in finding out what the load is going to be tomorrow. And they have this great amount of data where they have temperature, and then they have the load that was used the next day. And we have trained an artificial neural network with this old data so that now when we feed it the current data, which is the current temperature and the forecasted temperature, it's able to give a good estimate of the load the next day. So it gained wisdom from that experience.
I see. That's amazing.
Yes.
And is there any limit to that?
Well, there are some architectural limitations which are being investigated, and this International Joint Conference on Neural Networks here in Seattle this summer is going to address some of those. But other applications have been in the area of speech recognition, in the sense that it's very difficult in speech recognition to be able to train computers to recognize speech has been a problem for a long time. Yet neural networks potentially have the ability, as the human brain does, to be able to be trained in speech recognition.
You mean you could hook a microphone up to a computer that was designed along these lines, and it would recognize the words and know who was speaking?
Yes, that's one of the potential applications, right?
That sounds like we're getting closer and closer to the HAL 9000 in 2001.
Well, possibly, I suppose. But it's also been applied to some fascinating areas such as horse race handicapping. We had a gentleman here attempting to train neural networks with different track conditions and such and have the neural network be able to predict the horse. And I don't know what he's done since Long Acres has closed, though.
But these are practical applications. But what do you foresee how it will change our lives once this neural design catches on?
Well, it will give us computers that work more like the brain does. One of the major applications of artificial neural networks is in the area of pattern recognition, the idea of picking a face out in the crowd. We're able to do that very easy as human beings. If you've ever seen a picture with a lot of people in it, it's very easy to pick out somebody who you know. Artificial neural networks have the ability to do that. And there's some obvious applications in a military, for example.
One would think that a missile referring to a map or aerial photographs could home in on the point that it was supposed to get to an awful lot more correctly if it could logically look at terrain features, and I thought they were doing that already.
They are, but this is at a much more sophisticated level. It would be not only be able to recognize, but would be able to classify, for example, in the area of, for example, determining if what it was looking at was a tank or a friendly tank or whatever.
It could tell the difference?
Well, I guess in the future we would have the actual video signal fed to a neural network, which would make the decision as to what it was looking at.
Do we have to come up with entirely new parts and new ingredients for this artificial neural network, or is it just merely designing something new that takes off-the-shelf parts right now?
Well, actually, the exciting part is the parallel aspect of it. And just like the brain consists of a bunch of neurons all connected together, artificial neural networks have a very modular structure, which means you can essentially stamp them out with cookie cutter. And so because of this this modular, replicated sort of geometry, they're relatively straightforward to fabricate.
And wouldn't be that expensive?
Well, there's the tooling up. We have some startup companies now which are beginning to develop and test artificial neural network chips.
It's been a long time since I've heard anybody say that they were worried about computers taking over jobs that human beings are doing. But now that you've got this artificial neural network that seems to think like we do, is there a danger that they may take over jobs where the human brain had been employed before?
Well, there's another area called artificial intelligence and expert systems, which also attempts to question experts in specific areas and then attempts to learn the expertise of the expert and in that sense replace them. I suppose, however, I suppose that as in any new technology, the long-range effect is going to be actually the increase of employment, because there still have to be people to train neural networks in order to interpret what they do.
Well, we've had a couple of questions from listeners. One of them is this, from a woman who has a vision problem. Will they ever figure out a computer that can verbally read print?
There's currently commercially available conventional computers that are able to read the printed page and actually form a computer file of it. And then there's additional software that can take that file and transmit it into an audio signal. One of the most fascinating applications in neural networks was one that I saw at a conference such as the one which is going to be held in Seattle this summer, where a gentleman named Terry Sejnowski from the Salk Institute taught a neural network to read. And what was fascinating about it is that the neural network started out, and as it began to learn the verbiage, it actually talked much like a baby would talk. And then as it was trained more and more, its ability to read the text became much more sophisticated.
For heaven's sake.
Oh, it's fascinating, yeah.
What about reading speed? did it pick up too?
Well, actually, one of the problems with neural networks today is it takes them an incredible amount of time to learn. That is, the data that you train it with, in order for it to gain this wisdom, if you will, has to be presented to the neural network a number of times. And thus the need for high-speed sort of computing and actually these modular architectures.
Gary Christensen has been listening to all of this, and he wants to know if there are neural network applications for local businesses to use besides the example you used of a power company.
Well, one of the most interesting pieces of software coming out on neural networks is in the area of mortgage brokering, wherein statistics concerning a credit application are trained into a neural network, and of course they have a bank of past histories of successful mortgage loans and unsuccessful ones, and they train the neural network with those and are able then to use the artificial neural networks to make decisions about whether or not to award a mortgage. Boeing is currently using artificial neural networks now in an investigative level for parts classification. We have some work going on at the University of Washington in the area of design of stealth technology, interestingly, where in the neural network is trained with good designs for stealth technology, and then if you come up with a new set of parameters, it looks at all of the other designs and says, well, from all of these other things that you've taught me, this is possibly a good design, and that gives you forth a result.
I noticed that you have developed a list of some examples of the use of neural networks that are already in place. You've mentioned a few of them. This detector for security purposes at airports?
I should mention, in fairness, most of the work currently done in artificial neural networks is still in the developmental stage. The first application of artificial neural networks, of which I'm aware, is in the prototype plastic explosives detector, which was used at JFK Airport. This was able to detect plastic explosives. Conventional detectors, of course, can only detect metal. And so there was a neural network trained on what plastic explosives looks like.
We've heard of artificial intelligence. And would you say that what we're talking about is just another definition of artificial intelligence, or is it something else entirely?
Well, if you go to the field of computer science, computer engineering, electrical engineering, there is a distinct difference between what is considered artificial intelligence and artificial neural networks. Artificial intelligence is based on rules. Artificial neural networks is based on examples. So training is done by examples instead of rules.
Well, this is sort of an esoteric question, but if you can train a computer to learn and you give it examples of success along a given path, won't it make up its own rules eventually so that it will be able to follow the examples quickly by following the rules that emerged from the example?
Well, potentially, I think this is going to be one of the most exciting things that we learn from neural networks is the ability to train a neural network on data and then be able to extract the rules from the trained neural network.
Already, people are beginning, apparently, to think about its use in medicine, for example, interpreting EKG waveforms. You say that the stock market may be able to take a look at the performance of investments and be able to make pretty accurate predictions. Horse racing, that's already been used. You could almost predict that, couldn't you? Is this going to finally filter down to where the everyday computer user at home has one of these things that's with the architecture of neural networking?
I think the jury is still out. There's a great amount of excitement in the field, but I frankly think that the jury is still out. The artificial neural network has to be shown to be competitive with other technologies, and we're still working on that.
So it's in process, but what a fascinating process. Thank you, Bob. Dr. Robert Marks, professor of electrical engineering, University of Washington, and president of the Neural Networking Council of the Institute of Electronics and Electrical Engineers.
Have you made a guess of the year that this interview was conducted? Well, it was aired live on Cairo Radio in 1991. That's about 30 years ago. That's a long time ago, but here's something even more remarkable. About 60 years ago, Bernie Woodrow from Stanford University unveiled a neural network that performed voice recognition. It forecast the weather, and it learned to play blackjack, and it learned to play blackjack up to the near theoretical limit of success. Today's AI efforts are more sophisticated, but Bernie Woodrow pioneered the way. We'll provide a link to his 1960 video in the podcast notes. Lastly, let me leave you with the following New York Times headline. The headline reads, "New Navy device learns by doing." Then there's a kind of a colon, and then the subtitle is, "Psychologist shows embryo of computer designed to read and grow wiser." Here's the story. Washington, July 7th, United Press International, UPI. The Navy revealed the embryo of an electronic computer today that it expects will be able to walk, talk, see, write, reproduce itself, and be conscious of its existence. Walk, talk, see, write, reproduce itself, and be conscious of its existence? This sounds like something we would read today in the news. But this headline was published July 7th, 1959. That's over 60 years ago. Journalists seemingly can't help but writing hyperbolic headlines about artificial intelligence. And as Walter Cronkite would say for all of you older people, and that's the news. So until next time on Mind Matters News, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters News with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters News is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters News is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.